people who think they are good, they are simply a suffering. Isn't it so? Please look at this. Now, first of all, how did you become good? He's not okay, she's not okay, he's not okay, he's not okay, he's not okay, she's not okay. Compared to all these people, I am a good man. From where did you get the idea that you are good? Tell me. You have compared yourself with lots of people and you labeled everybody as bad. And now you feel good. Somebody who thinks he is very good, in his mind, nobody in the world is okay. The more good you think you are, nobody is okay for you. Is that so? Isn't it so? People who believe they are very good people, nobody wants to go anywhere near them because they are so good, no life can happen. Your goodness is only in comparison with something else, isn't it? Yes? And you establishing yourself as good and making all these people are totally wretched people, then I am a really good man, isn't it? Isn't it so? Good people won't get anywhere, either in this world or in the other world. Can you take a joke? Do you have good digestion? I'm not talking about that digestion. One day, in his previous life, Shankaran Pillai was a good man. After a brief illness, he died. Being a good man, he naturally went to heaven. He landed up at heaven, there at the reception committee of angels, opened his account book. Page after page, good deed, good deed, good deed, good deed, good deed. Cover to cover, only good deed. Then the angels were in confusion. Then they came to Shankaran Pillai and said, "Mr. Pillai, there's a little problem here." He asked, "What is the problem?" He said, the angels said, "See, here we have various kinds of accommodation in heaven, various levels of accommodation. One bad deed means highest heaven, see front view. Two bad deeds, next level of accommodation. Three bad deeds, next level of accommodation, like this. But no bad deed, we don't have such a place. We really don't know what to do with you. You are the first man to come like this." Shankaran Pillai thought, what nonsense. In the world, nobody wanted to come near me because I was such a good man. I live with the hope of getting to heaven and even here problem. Then the angels had a discussion and they arrived at a conclusion. They said, "Don't you worry, Mr. Pillai, we have found a solution. Your body is still intact there. We'll give you 3 hours of life. Just commit one bad deed. We'll put you in the highest heaven. Nothing is lost." Lo, Shankaran Pillai became alive here. Then he sat there thinking how to commit a bad deed. 1.5 hours passed away. See, he's not like you, he has no practice. After 1.5 hours, he remembered, in the neighborhood, there is a woman who is well beyond her prime, who's been casting inviting glances at him. He being a good man, he never looked that way. Now he thought, okay, adultery is a bad deed. Because after all, he's going to do whatever he is going to do just to go to heaven. So he went looking for the woman. He went and knocked on her door. She came and opened the door. When she opened the door, Shankaran Pillai said, "I want you." Why, Mr. Pillai, just yesterday evening they told me, you are on your deathbed, what is this? He said, it doesn't matter, I want you. He went in, you know, nature took over, things happened between them. He doesn't want to die in her house. Time is running out, so he told her, I need to go. And he came to the door. The woman came to see him off and she said, Mr. Pillai, do you know what a good deed you have done for me today? One more good deed. So good people will neither make it here nor there. It's not your goodness which liberates you. Your goodness is only in comparison with somebody else. Your goodness being in comparison with somebody else, it's not about goodness, it's a kind of sickness. It's just like right now people are going about like this. They're happy. They don't know what joy is. Their happiness is just that. They have things that other people don't have. Isn't it? Now let's say you are all very hungry, but my stomach is full and I feel so happy that nobody has food, but at least I have something to eat. Is this happiness or sickness? Humanity is suffering from the sickness which is passing off as happiness for most people. Isn't it so? Their sense of happiness is only because what other people do not have. Most people would not be touching the things that they value right now if everybody had it. You hang a big stone around your neck, this stone has become so precious and become such a source of pride because everybody does not have it. If everybody had these big stones around their neck, you wouldn't touch it. Isn't it so? So this is a sickness. This sickness is passing off as goodness, happiness. This sickness will not liberate you. If you're joyful by your own nature, you will be fine with life around you. You will not do anything life negative when you're alive and joyful, isn't it? Have you noticed this? Whenever you're happy, you're very magnanimous and generous. Have you seen? When you're very happy, whatever anybody does, it's all right, you can look beyond those things. Yes? When you're unhappy, you have a problem with everybody in the world. Yes or no? It's not your goodness which will liberate you. It'll not your goodness which will bring purity to you. Good people know all the bad things. They're managing to avoid it. Isn't it so? If you're avoiding it, probably you're constantly thinking about it. Yes or no? You're not free from it, you're just avoiding it. Avoiding something is not freedom from it. Now, if you truly begin to experience all these people as your responsibility, will you be a pure being? If you really begin to experience all life around you as 100% your responsibility, would you be a pure being? Yes? Purity comes from inclusion. Goodness comes from exclusion. Please see. You become good because you excluded somebody. He's not okay, she's not okay, he's not okay. From this you become good. But only when you become inclusion, you become pure. With exclusion, you cannot become pure. Please see. Your goodness is coming from exclusion, isn't it so? It'll not work. It'll only cause pain to you more, and good people are always in pain. They're wondering, I am such a good man, but my business is not working properly. My neighbor is such an evil man, but his business is going on well. Why God is not helping me? You're good, but you're stupid. What to do? If you don't do the right thing, nothing works. Isn't it so? Isn't it so? If you want some aspect of your life to work, you must understand how to make it work, otherwise it's not going to work. If you are thinking God will come and help you, I want you to understand, God won't lift His little finger for you. God, what you refer to as God, is Creator. As a Creator, He has done a fantastic job. Can you think of a better creation? You don't understand? Can you think of a better creation than what is there right now? No. As a creator, his job is just absolute, isn't it? Now it's your job. God is not a good manager, he's a bad manager. He's a great creator. Management is your job. If you manage it well, it happens well. If you don't manage it well, it doesn't happen well. It's as simple as that. If God or divinity is there in everybody, why some people are good, some people are bad? If God is there in you, everybody should be good. So I'm asking, whoever told you God is a good man? God is not a good man. Is he bad? No, he's not bad. This good and bad is your problem. This good and bad problem is created by your mind because you have labeled everything as good and bad. This good and bad, right and wrong, is all your nonsense, isn't it? What was thought to be very good 100 years ago is unbearable today. Yes? What you think is very good, your children hate it. Yes? So what is good and bad? It's your nonsense. It's got nothing to do with life, isn't it? Yes? What's good and bad is all your mental nonsense. It's got nothing to do with life as such. So don't put creator into your categories. That which you call as the creator is neither good nor bad. Right now, is electricity good or bad? Very good. Stick your finger into it and see. It's neither good nor bad. It's just energy, isn't it? You can make wonderful things out of it. You can make terrible things out of it. That's what you're doing. You can make this into something very wonderful. You can make this into something very terrible. It's your choice. Whatever you have made out of it, whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility is it? If you see I am responsible, would you make this into a terrible thing? Would you? You thought somebody else is responsible, so you made something terrible out of it. If you see this is 100% my responsibility, would you make this into something terrible or miserable? Would you? No. You think I am like this because my father didn't bring me up properly. I am like this because my teachers were not okay. I am like this because my neighbor did this to me. You are like this because you are like this, that's all. If you see this is 100% my responsibility, you will make this into something really wonderful, isn't it so? You think something else is responsible, so you are becoming an accidental existence.
Swamiji, how to come off the addiction?
I'm sorry?
Addiction, like smoking, like drinking, something like that. No, because we know that's a bad thing, but we are addicted to that. I don't know, because I do go for tennis, I go for...
I'm sorry?
I go for sports also, but sometimes we smoke regularly in 3 hours, once or 2 hours, once, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I know it's a bad thing. I have to come out of
it. I didn't say it's a bad thing. I don't think it's good or bad. It's just quite stupid to be smoking. It's not good or bad. It's just stupid because this machine was not made to smoke. This is an eco-friendly machine. But now you're making it into a smoking machine. That means it's stupid, isn't it? A very efficient machine, you make it inefficient machine. Is it not stupid? Is it good or bad? There's no such thing.
Yeah, we know it's bad, but...
See, that's the whole thing. The moment you call it bad, you can't leave it. See, whale knows what's bad. Why are you giving it titles that it is not? It's just stupid, that's all. If you see something as stupid, you can't be doing it every day. Somewhere, you feel smarter than other people. Yes?
No, because the taste.
See, now slowly in the world, people have gotten against you. Just 10 years ago, if you blow it into somebody's face, you felt great, they felt stupid. Now the equation is reversed in last 10 years' time, isn't it? Isn't it so? So somewhere you thought it's a smart thing to do. When you were just 10-year-old kid, you wanted to suck in and blow it out into somebody's face. It felt like a smart thing to do. You tell me, smoking, a machine that doesn't smoke, to make it smoke. Right now we're working so hard to make our car smoke less, isn't it? Enormous amount of research into fuels and engines and everything is going on to make our car smoke less, isn't it? A non-smoking machine, if you make it smoke, is it stupid or intelligent?
Stupid.
Say it loudly.
Stupid.
That's all. If you see that, slowly it will drop off. Now, there is a certain chemical factor to this. Your chemistry has become dependent on nicotine or caffeine or whatever. That way will change. You just see, you do Shambhavi Mahamudra, suddenly your whole system is so fired up. The need to smoke, the need to drink coffee, tea, everything just evaporates. Now if you do it, it's only for the pleasure of it. One day you feel like drinking coffee, you drink it. One day you feel like smoking, you smoke, that's up to you. But the compulsion will be taken away. The physiological dependence will be taken away. We'll do that with the practice. But first you see that it's stupid to do it.
About 2 months back, I admitted my father in a very serious condition in the hospital. And after they tried their level best, they leave up the matter. And my father survived after the treatment for 36 hours. We were standing around him at his last breath. We saw him. I saw his death. The last breath. At that moment, I raised one question with my doctors. What is the driving force within our body?
Now, what you call as my body is just a piece of earth that you picked up and now prancing around like this. Yes? It's just a piece of earth, isn't it? It's on loan to you. When the time to return the loan comes, why are you making such a fuss? After all, you're an auditor. You know money borrowed has to be returned, otherwise somebody will keep accounts. Planet Earth keeps proper account. You can't take an atom of it. You can borrow it, you can use it, you can enjoy it. You have to give it back to it. This is the way of life. Now, because you get so attached to your piece of earth, which you call as my father or myself or your wife or her child or whatever, you don't want to give it up. I want you to understand, your love is not for life. Your love is what you consider as myself and all that you consider as that which belongs to me. Every day, people are dying in the world, isn't it? Every day. Millions, I don't know how many die. Does somebody have figures? Huh? Every minute 200 people are dying. Why don't you ever think, why are they dying? Why don't you ever think, where is the source of life? Now your father is dying. If you did not know who is your father, even if that man died, you wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter to you. But now, it's my father. That is the whole thing. Your concern is not that another human being is dying. Your concern is not about another life. Your concern is just me, isn't it? So when your concern is like this, distorted concern, now you have a distorted vision of life. When you have distorted visions of life, then suffering is inevitable. Now, your father is gone. Yes, we would like to do everything to have our loved ones around us as long as possible. But they will go invariably, isn't it? I should tell you a story. Once, what's your name, Ravi? Ravi? Somebody like Ravi built a new house, because it's there in this tradition that if they have a sage or a saint in the, they bring them to their house so that their house is blessed. And they called a yogi to their house. The yogi came, they welcomed him like a king, treated him like a king, fed him well. Then they came and said, "You must bless us and our house." The yogi said, let your father die first, then you, and then your children." The man got really angry. "You idiot, we bring you home, we treat you like a king, we feed you, we give you gifts. And when I ask you to bless me, you're telling me my father should die first, then I should die, then my children should die." And he is also afraid, because the yogi has said so, it may happen so. The yogi said, "What is wrong with what I said? Is it not good if your father dies first, then you, then your children? If you die before your father, is it good? Or if your children die before you, is it good? If your father should die first, then you should die, then your children should die. This is the natural order of life. Is that not how life should happen to you?" "Yes." "So, your father should die, then you should die, then your children should die. This is the way of life. Because you are completely out of tune with life. You think your father should not die. Okay, instead of your father, if you die, things will be better? Or if your children die, will it be better? No, isn't it? This is the way it should happen. Yes, we do our best to keep our loved ones as far as possible. But when they have to go, you send them gracefully. And when you have to go, you also go gracefully. This doesn't belong to you. You just borrowed it. No interest. But every atom of it, you have to pay it back. That's the way it is. It's good if our fathers die before us, isn't it? It's not good if our children die before us. But our fathers should die before us. It's good. We don't wish it today. We want them a long life, but they must die one day, isn't it?" This is what he meant when he said, "Your father should die first, then you, then your children." Because all the three forces should function in balance, then only there is life. If your father never dies, then your children should not be born. Isn't it so? If your children should be born and they should grow up and live, then your father should die and then you should also die. Isn't it? If all our forefathers become alive now, can we live here? We'll anyway wish them dead. Isn't it so? Let's be honest. Yes? If all our forefathers, 25 generations of people, if they become alive now, do you want them? No, you'll wish them dead. So it's good what's happening. It's just that we have to manage it so that it doesn't become an aberration in our lives. It happens at the right time, isn't it?
Can I contact my dead father?
I'm sorry?
Can I know where my dead father is right?
Can you?
Contact my father who has died 5 years ago.
Now, I know this is coming from a certain emotion. I don't want to make ridicule that, but I want you to understand. Your business with your father is only when he's embodied. What you have known as your father is just a certain body and a certain mind. You have not known anything else of your father, isn't it? Yes or no? Whatever you have known as your father is just a certain form of physical body and maybe certain aspects of his mind and emotion. Do you know anything else of your father? Because you do not know anything else of yourself. There is no question of knowing anything else of your father, isn't it? You may say, no, my father was a good soul. You don't know all these things, whether he is good soul or bad soul, whether he had one or not, you do not know. Maybe your father was a good-hearted man, maybe a gentleman, maybe a loving person, yes? Maybe very cruel to somebody else but nice to you, yes or no? Yes? Maybe very wicked out in the world but good to you. This is how you've known your father, which way we do not know. Maybe very wonderful the world and not so good to you, or the other way around, whatever. You've known his little bit of thoughts, his emotions and his body to some extent. So once, when your father left, definitely he left your body, his body here and went, isn't it? Once he left his body, you have no business with him. It doesn't matter how much emotion you have, your business with him is over. I want you to understand this. Your business with them is only when they're alive. But when they're alive, you are not on talking terms with your father. When he dies, you want to contact him. Don't do this to yourself. When they're around you, give yourself totally. Do everything that you could do. After they're gone, what are you going to do? Anyway they will go, today or tomorrow. Your father went 5 years ago, my father may go 5 years later. But they will go, isn't it? So when they are there, show all the involvement that you can. When they are there, you can't talk to them, you are angry with them, you can't look at them, you have no time for them. After they are gone, you want to go to heaven and talk to them. There is no email facility there. So do not bother about the dead. Leave the dead to the dead. Your business is with the living. When your business is just with the living, make it a total business, you know. Show involvement with life around you. When you're here, you are uninvolved. If I ask you to right now say hello to the man next to you, you hesitate. But you want to contact the dead, why? Show more involvement with life around you. Then it's okay. The unborn and the dead are not your business now.
We have about 140 doctors working in our hospital, Swamiji. Except myself, nobody wants to become spiritual. I don't know what exactly spirituality. If what you are talking is spirituality, I would like to be like that. But many people don't believe. I said, we are working from morning to night and we are happy and patients are happy, we make some money. Is spirituality essential for life or...
Is spirituality essential? Right now, you are who you are only because of your spirit, isn't it? Isn't it so? Just with heart, liver, kidney, would you be who you are? Just with body, would you be who you are? Just with this mass of flesh and bone, would you be who you are? The spirit in you is what makes you who you are, isn't it? So, is somebody spiritual, not spiritual? Everybody is spiritual, because everybody has a spirit. The question is just this, somebody has attended to his body well. Whoever kept his body well, goes through the physical world well, isn't it? The man who is physically fit, now he wants to run and catch the bus, he runs and catches the bus. Those people like your patients, the way they kept their body, now they'll only fall under the bus, isn't it? They cannot, you know, do anything worthwhile physically, isn't it? Isn't it so? So if your physical body is well, you go through the physical world well. If your mental capabilities are good, you go through the psychological phases of your life good, isn't it? If you have a weak, shaky mind, then psychologically you suffer. If your emotions are strong and balanced, you experience emotional phase of your life wonderfully, isn't it? You can throw yourself into every emotion and still be perfectly balanced, enjoying all of it. Similarly, if you have exercised your spirit and kept it well, you go through another dimension of your life well, without which you are nothing. Now, like you said, we are working, we are happy, our patients are happy. No, your patients are never happy. When they come, they are unhappy because they are not well. When they go, they are unhappy because they have to pay the bill. So patients are never happy. Only thing is, they may be little happy because they thought they will be dead, but they survived. That is only momentary, isn't it? Today I think I'm going to die. Suppose even if it cost me that much money, I survived. I had a little bit of happiness today. But tomorrow morning, everything is same once again, isn't it? Like before going to the hospital, what all problems I had, they have multiplied during my stay in the hospital. Isn't it so? My business, my family, my other things, whatever problems I had, that 1 month stay in hospital and out, I am little poorer, but all my problems have multiplied in 1 month's absence, isn't it so? So I am not happy, again struggle. Coming to the doctor, doctors are happy? I don't think so. I am not saying all doctors are unhappy, that's not the point. I am not talking about doctor as a doctor. As a human being, his ability to be happy, not concerned with his profession, it's just a human capability. Maybe some human beings who happen to be doctors are happy, some human beings who happen to be doctors are unhappy, isn't it? So being a doctor is not bringing happiness or unhappiness. If you are a certain kind of human being, you are happy. If you are not, you are not. Either you are making yourself happy or unhappy, it depends on so many factors. Happiness may be just this, that you are little better off than other people around you. As we already looked at this, that's not happiness, that's just a kind of sickness, isn't it? We are little better off than people around us. If that's your joy, is it not sickness? Yes? So that means if everybody is well, you will not be happy. Isn't it so? That's what it amounts to, isn't it? It's an unfortunate way of being happy. It is a kind of sickness. Now, do we need spirituality? Everybody needs it. There's no question about it. Some are aware of it, some are not aware of it. But everybody is seeking to be joyful by his own nature, isn't it? Right now, you have mortgaged your happiness to something outside of you. Wouldn't you like to be happy by yourself? Doctor or patient, criminal or police, this or that, everybody would like to be happy, blissful by themselves. So they are all longing to be spiritual then. They are all longing to be spiritual. Now what is the… people keep asking me, Sadhguru, can you tell us what is the difference between a spiritual person and a materialistic person? Actually there are no such two people. Your body, mind and spirit is one, isn't it? Can anybody separate it? Only if I have you short, it can be separated, isn't it? Yes? Or if you grow in your awareness, it can be separated, that's different. Now, is somebody 100% materialistic? Is somebody 100% spiritual? There is no such thing. However spiritual you are, you still have to carry the body with you, isn't it? In your experience, you may be free from it. But in reality, you have to carry it with you. You have to feed it, you have to wash it, you have to clothe it. All these things are there, isn't it? Isn't it so? So you are still materialistic. Can you give up your spirit and just live with your body? No. So you are still spiritual. The difference is just this. Materialistic people beg for everything in their life. Their happiness, they'll beg from somebody. Their love, they'll beg from somebody. Their peace, they'll beg from somebody. For everything that they need, most essential things in their life, they have to beg somebody. Isn't it so? Only their food they earn, everything else they beg. A spiritual person, his love, his peace, his joy, everything he earns by himself, only his food he begs. If he wants to earn his food, that's no big deal, he will earn it. But right now he thinks it's not so important and he begs it. That's the difference. The only thing that people are earning is their food and clothing, isn't it? What else are they earning? See, just the simple process of life. After all, what is most of the humanity doing? Just eating, sleeping, reproducing, dying. This is all they're doing, isn't it? You may be believing I'm doing many things. If moment of death comes to you and you turn back and see, just see what you have done with your life. All you have done is simple, plain survival. In a complex mess, but simple, plain survival, isn't it? Just to survive and exist, see what's happening to human beings. Most people, as they age, they are becoming wounded. So much pain they have become, isn't it? With age, they are not becoming wise, they are becoming wounded. So, just the simple process which every worm, every insect, every dog and cat and bird goes through, to go through that process, human beings have become incapable. At the end of their lives, they are so hurt and pained about everything around them, isn't it? Are you exposed to people's pain and suffering on a daily basis? Not the physical sort. There are any variety of pains, you know. Every day, my life is with hundreds of people. You won't believe, it's unbelievable. The variety of suffering that human beings have created for themselves is so unbelievable. You know, there's simply no reason. They just go on doing it because there is nothing else to engage themselves with which is worthwhile. They have to go on messing themselves non-stop. Slowly, you just look back. Please take a picture of yours when you were 5, 6 years of age and look at yourself now, how the joy has been squeezed out of you. Yes? Simple process of living. You are not doing anything great, you are not trying to reach other worlds or anything, just existing and surviving, isn't it? For that, all this has happened. Is it worthwhile? Is it worthwhile causing all this pain to yourself just to eat, sleep, procreate and die one day? If you're on your deathbed, it won't mean anything. Anyway, do you know all of you will die one day? I am not wishing it upon you. I bless you with a long life. But do you know anyway you will die one day? Yes? Is it okay? Let's just imagine. The next moment is our death. Turn back and see, what have you got? What have you got to show as life, tell me? That moment is anyway going to come in our lives, isn't it so? Yes? Anyway it's going to come. Is it not time that we looked at it now, not tomorrow? Isn't it time that we looked at it right now and not tomorrow? Because you don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. Is anybody here who's come with 24-hour guarantee card? No, we are hoping and aspiring, that's different. But do you have a guarantee card for 24 hours? No. It could be any moment, isn't it? So is it not important that we address it? Is it not important to know what my life is about? Where does it begin? Where does it end? Where do I come from? Where do I go? Is it not important? You have made too much elaborate preparations. See, right now, you want to go to Gandhipuram from here. Do you book a seat on the bus 10 days ahead? Do you take a suitcase? do you take a lunch box and water bottle and everything to go to Gandhipuram? No. You hop onto some bus and go. If there is nothing, you'll walk and go, isn't it? Now you want to do a long distance journey, very long. Now you book your tickets, prepare everything, take the food, take the water, whatever you may need on this long journey. You want to go to Antarctica, you want to take everything, isn't it possible? Now this is just like this. From your birth to death is just a short journey. You have made too much preparation. You have enough clothes to wear for three lifetimes. Isn't it so? Isn't it so? Can you wear all those clothes in one lifetime? You have enough for three lifetimes. You have footwear for eight lifetimes. And you are seeking liberation. I am not saying you should not enjoy the physical things around you, but if that is the support